Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Pesachim Kuf Beis. We are right on top of the Amud. It says, Mantana Kirois, Rabbi Yehuda. Let's perhaps backtrack a bit. Yesterday we discussed the concept of Shini Mokim. Suppose a person makes a bracha right here and begins eating, then changes his location. Shini Mokim necessitates a new bracha. Rashbam explains, it's equated with Hesach Hadas. It's as though he diverted his attention because you're in a new place. It's a new environment, a new mealtime experience, and a new bracha is required. All shitas held, Shini Mokim is Mechayev a new bracha. Rav, Shmuel, except for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, as long as he still wants to eat at that new location, there's no Hesach Hadas, just because he had a change of venue. No new bracha is needed. Mu'ara Braisa, and concluded, Tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan, we refuted Rabbi Yochanan Shita. And indeed we hold that a Shini Mokim requires a new bracha. However, Rav Chizda tells us, that applies strictly to a case where he partook in types of food which don't need their bracha achroina to be recited at the original mokem achil. For instance, ha'etz, ha'domasha, ha'koil, in which case when he moves over to a different location, he can make his bracha achroina there. If that's the case, leaving your original mokem achila constitutes a termination, a hafsek, an interruption of that masa achila, and now he's beginning anew, and a new bracha is required. However, if he partook in these items that have more prominence in chashivas, mezoinos, wine, where the bracha achroina in those cases need to be said specifically at the original mokem, you have to go back home to make your bracha achroina. Therefore, says Rav Chizda, even if he should leave that location, he is still considered connected and bound to that original location because he's headed back there to make the bracha achroina. And therefore, anything that transpires throughout this walk around, even if he eats in the second place, that's considered part of the original masa achila. It's a continuous meal, so to speak, in which case no new bracha is required. The Mara Kasha from a Braisa, where it seemed that even when it comes to wine drinking, leaving your location constitutes a hefsek which requires a new bracha. The Mara responds, and that takes us to our daf. On the top line, Mantana Akiras Rabbi Yehuda. Indeed, that Braisa reflects Rabbi Yehuda, who says that any Akira indicates that you're uprooting from something established, from a kvius, from a significantly regarded a masa achila, something which requires bracha achroina to be reset over here. You have to come back here if you leave. Even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says, leaving is considered a hefsek, and anything happens afterwards, we treat as a new masa achila, and a new bracha is required. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shit. But the Chachamim, they hold no. That when we're speaking about these types of foods, which require you to go back and make the bracha achroina at the original location, even if you have a shini makam, you're still bound to that original makam achila, and no new bracha is required, even if you continue eating in a new location. Where do we find this machlekes? The sanya chaverim. Rashbam says chaverim atim de chachamim. Shoyim asuben. They were sitting. They were reclining, having some sort of meal. Some sort of eating or drinking experience. They uprooted themselves. Now, when we speak about akru, apparently we're speaking that they were engaged in some sort of achila which required them to make the baracha achroina right here and now. That's what akira means. You uprooted yourself from this established meal experience. Va'aklu raglayim leilich lebeis haknesses, lebeis hamedrash. They went out to the shul. The Beis Medrash, Keshein Yoytzin Ein Tunin Brachal Mafreya. On the way out, there's no need for them to make a Brachachroina. Ukeshein Choyzer, when they come back, and tune in bracha lechatchila. They don't need to make a bracha rishon before they continue eating. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, b'medvar mamurim. When is this set? When do we consider this to be an uninterrupted experience? Therefore, no bracha achroin or bracha rishon is required. That's only b'zman shenichu sham miktsas chaverim. They left part of the group behind. Since there are some fellows left behind, they hang on to the Suda. They maintain the Suda experience even on behalf of these fellows who left. And that's why when they come back, they just latch back on to the Suda and there's no need to make a new bracha. But if they haven't left anybody behind, when they leave, they need to make a bracha achroina. When they come back, they have to make a new bracha before they resume their meal. So this is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, who says very clearly, even if they were oikar, meaning they were engaged in drinking wine and amazonas, something which requires them to come back, we don't say they're bound and they're just engaged in a continuous eating experience. If they leave, it's over. They have to make a new bracha, provided they didn't leave some friends behind. So unless they left friends behind, it's considered a hefsek and new bracha is required. However, according to the Tanakhama, the Rabbonon, they don't have to have this. They don't have to have this condition of leaving mitzvahs chaverim. They hold as long as you're eating something which requires you to return to make your bracha here, you're still bound to this location, even if you choose to leave and eat elsewhere. Since you're ultimately headed back to this location, we consider it to be one continuous ma'as achila in accordance with Chizas Chiddush, and therefore no new bracha is required. Let's take a look at Rashbam. On the top of the Rashbam here, Rashbam, man tana akiris, man tana lahach tana brais lektani. Who is the author of this brais which says, afagav the dvar matunim bracha lachreim bimkoyman, tzorch levarach, biyudi. Who is the shita that even when it comes to things which require you to come back and make your bracha, still, when you leave, it's as though you're beginning anew and a new bracha is required? That is strictly Rabbi Yehuda. As we find in the Braisach, Garsin and Chaverim Shayu Mesubin Vakar Aglaim, Vilay Garsin and Shtesiain. And the Braisach says, they don't have to make a new bracha when they leave and come back. Omer Yehuda, Bamedvar Mamurim. That's only when they leave some friends behind. Says Rashbam, apparently, Tanakhama, which is the Rabbanan, don't require that condition to be met. Mikal the Rabbanan pligyale bereisha. They disagree with him. The Avgav lo yich nuchosham mikzas chaverim ein tzorach levarach kirav chizda. Apparently, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. They don't need mikzas chaverim. They hold, as long as you're engaged in some sort of significant Ma'as achila, i.e. something which requires you to come back home to make a bracha achrayna, even if you choose to leave and have some food elsewhere, there's no need to make a new bracha in accordance with Rav Chis. The Amar Bechem Be'erven Perik Chaloin Kol Makam She'amar Rabbi Yehuda Bameh Lachlik. Whenever you find either in a Mishnah, a Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda uses the term Bameh, and a comma stated halacha, Rav Yehuda responds by saying, you know, b'meh dvarim amurim, when is that applied? In effect, it's a lachlik, it's a disagreement. He's challenging the Tanakhama. So we hear what Rav Yehuda says, b'meh dvarim amurim, when do we say no bracha is required when he left mitzvahs chaverim? He's coming to be chelek in Tanakhama, who holds that even without that element of chaverim, no bracha is required. However, when we find Rabbi Yehuda using the word Eimasai, Eimasai, where does that say? He's simply coming to elaborate and explain Tanakhama. He's not coming to disagree. Fine. So we found Rabbi Yehuda, and we found the Chachamim, and Rav Chisda follows the Chachamim. Continues the Gemara. Now let's make a diuk. We mentioned Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan holds that any shini mokim, any change of venue, does not necessitate a new bracha. Rashbam explained, Because he has das in a new place. Just by the mere fact that he finds himself in a new location, why is that considered hesach das? That's Rabbi Yechonon's shita. And we actually had a teyufta Rabbi Yechonon. Now the Gemara is going to ask another kasha Rabbi Yechonon from this price, using a diuk. The price has said that according to the Tanakhama, the reason why we don't have to make a new bracha when we leave, that's because they were oikir raglaim, they uprooted, indicating that they were engaged in a meaningful achila, something which bound them to this location. A bracha achroina needed to be said here. And in that case, we say just leaving for a few minutes, that's not called a hefsik on the achila. And therefore, new bracha is not needed. What does that sound like? Otherwise, if it would be just an ordinary snack, ha'eitz, hadama, shahako, if they would leave, that would be considered a hefsik and would necessitate a new bracha. That's a kashan Rabbi Yechonon, who says, any shini makim doesn't concern us. Ela taimo, the bedvarim hatu'unim. It's only because we're speaking about dvarim hatu'unim bracha lachreimim kaimer. These significant foodstuff items, these things that need a bracha achrona in their place. It's only in that situation. Do the chachamim say, the kishen yoitzin ain't tuna bracha achrona freya when they leave, you don't need to make a bracha achrona. Ukshen choizun ain't tuna bracha achatchil. When they come back, they don't have to make a new bracha. Because we're speaking about these specific foods which bind you to your location. Aval, apparently. Aval dvorim she'ain tuna bracha achrona mim koimen. But just standard foods. Hey, it's Adama Shakal, where you don't have to come back and do your bracha achrona. Afilu Rabban, even according to Rabbanan, we would say, leaving, shini makam, new bracha is required. Keshein yoitzin, to the bracha mafrei, when they leave, they have to make a new bracha. Bracha achrona when they leave. Ukshein choizun, to the bracha l'chatchil, when they come back, they make a new bracha before they continue eating. Leima tavet yufta Rabbi Yechonon. Isn't this a teyufta, a kasha, a refutation of Rabbi Yechonon, who says that shini makam doesn't concern us? Says the Gemara, what's the big deal? V'lav miyusvini chad ezimna, haven't we already had a teyufta Rabbi Yechonon from an earlier brisa, daf kufal from a base? Name a mehanami to have a teyufta, perhaps from this brisa as well, we will have a kasha Rabbi Yechonon. And as Rashbam explains, perhaps somebody will come along and answer the first kasha, or tell us that the brisa is unreliable. Perhaps we can have another kasha from this brisa. Answers the Gemara, no, not so quick. Amalach Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yechonon can respond like this. Don't make your diuk. Because the mere fact that the brisa chose to present the Shitas Chachamim in this light, in a case where they were engaged in a meaningful meal experience, things that need Baruch HaChron in their place, doesn't necessarily indicate that had they have been engaged in a simple snack, the halacha would be any different. And a shini makim would generate a new bracha. No, not necessarily. Hu hadin afilu dvorim she'ein tu'unin bracha l'achreim im koimin nabi ein tzrichin levarach. The truth is that even if they're engaged in eating ordinary foods, things that don't need the bracha achreina recited in the original location, hey, it's Adama Shakal. Even in that case, if they should pick themselves up and relocate and resume eating elsewhere, perhaps a new bracha would not be required. Shini makam doesn't concern us, as long as, in your mind, you're going to eat elsewhere. When you pick yourself up, I have a mind to eat elsewhere. It's considered a continuous experience. If that's the case, if that's true, then why does the brisa choose to present halacha in this manner? The answer is, v'ha diktanu akru raglaim. Why, if so, did the brisa choose to present it as akru raglaim? They uprooted themselves, which indicates that perhaps the reason why we don't require new bracha is because they were engaged in a meaningful achila, something which requires them to remain here, to come back here and do the bracha. You know why? You know why the brisa chose to present it in this manner? To highlight, to accentuate the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, He's very machmer. Look, even in a case where we're speaking about things that require one to come back, even in that case, Rabbi holds, leaving is considered a hafsek. Leaving is considered a termination. Da filu dvarim shetunin bracha l'achreim v'mkoymin, even these items, time adinicha miktas chaverim, the only reason why we consider it a continuous experience and no brachas needed, that's because they left some friends behind. But otherwise, if they would not have left anybody behind, they picked up and left, a new bracha is required. When they leave, they have to make a bracha achrayna. When they come back, a new bracha is required before they resume eating. That's why the Braisa presented the halacha in this manner. We're speaking about these items of a permanence, because we wanted to simply highlight Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush. Even in those cases, Rabbi Yehuda says, a new bracha is required. A change of venue equals a new bracha. Yeah, only if you left some friends behind and you're still bound. But otherwise, a new bracha is required. That's all according to Rabbi Yehuda. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm following the Rabbanan, and perhaps the Rabbanan would hold that in any situation, a shini makam does not equal his hezek hadas and doesn't generate a new chiyuv bracha. Whether we're speaking about mezoinus, hamaitzi, shahakol, hadoyim, ha'etz, doesn't matter. Continues the Gemara. Tanya kavaseid Rav Chizda. We actually have a raya, a straightforward raya to Rav Chizda's shita. Again, Rav Chizda was the one who says, shini makam requires a new bracha, but that's only, we're speaking about these insignificant food items which don't need a bracha achrayna b'mkoymin. But otherwise, if we're speaking about mezoinus, a wine, once you begin partaking over here, even if you've changed locations, that's not called a new ma'asa achila, because you're still bound and connected to your former location. You have to come back here, in any case, to complete your bracha achrayna, and therefore anything that transpires in the interim is considered one continuous ma'asa achila. We have a price which clearly supports this halacha chaverim shayim asum l'shtes yain. They were sitting drinking wine. Wine is a thing that needs a bracha achrayna b'mkoymei. Va'akru agleyem v'chazru. They left and they came back. Ein tzrich l'mvarech. No new bracha is required. So in conclusion, we have Rabbi Yechon who says, any shiri makim doesn't concern us. No new bracha is required. We have a Tuyuftan Rabbi Yechon, we learned that yesterday. We attempted to bring another Kashan Rabbi Yechon, which was actually resolved. However, the other Shitas, whether it's Rav, Shmuel, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, Rav Sheshes, all hold that a Shini Mokim requires a new bracha. However, says Rav Chizda, there's one exception. If you're engaged in a meaningful Achila experience, something of significance, something which connects you to this Mokim, in fact, it requires you to come back. If you should leave, it is mechayiv to come back and do a bracha achrayna right here. Then says Rav Chizda, leaving doesn't necessarily disconnect you. You're actually still bound to that original meal experience, and anything that you eat until you come back and include it is considered one ma'asa achila, and no new bracha is required. Let's take a look at the Rashbam here. So all the way on the bottom, if you count up 10 lines from the bottom, it's the easiest way to find it. Right in the middle of that line, you'll see a little dot, and the Rashbam concludes the halacha as follows. Miyo shamina mishmaitim. We conclude from Al-Gamar. Shina yayin ein tzorach levorach. Birchas hayin. If one began drinking this bottle, and a new bottle arrives, you don't have to make a new bracha. Aval mevorach hatoiv ha-meitiv. But certainly hatoiv ha-meitiv is required. That's a unique bracha upon the arrival of a new variety of wine. Shina yimokim. What about change of venue? If it's Shivas Haminim, where you have to make the Ala Gefen or Ala Michya back in the original location, if you began eating in this home and then continued in a different home, or he began eating here, went out for a walk and came back, it takes out the word Bayisachar. So in all these cases, since we're speaking about things which have significance, which are mechayiv, a bracha to be recited in the original location. In all these cases, ain't tzarich lachzor levarach. There's no need to make a new bracha tchila. Delekivei kamahadar, because he's simply returning back. He's reconnecting to his former meal experience. Da'atanya kavasei derav chizda, because he had a brisa that supported Rav Chizda, who taught us this halacha. Aval shar peyos amashkin she'enim shivas aminim. But regarding other fruits, other drinks which are non-shivas aminim items, she'en tzrichim bracha lachreinim b'mkoyman, where in those cases you don't have to come back to make the bracha achreina. V'achol b'ayzeh, because of v'achol b'ayz achar. In this case, if he began over here and then continued in a different house, tzorach levarach tchila, he has to make a new bracha before he continues eating in the other location. It's considered a new experience. But that's only when it's one room to the other, one house to the next. Avol mepino lepino b'ayz echad, but if it's simply relocating from one corner of the room to the other, ein tzorach levarach, there's no need to make a bracha. K'desanyi masnesin b'erav hinuk, as we learned yesterday in the brisa of b'erav hinuk. Concludes the Rashbam. We had a brisa holding on top of the Amud Chavirim that was sitting and eating, and they got up to go to shul. Why do we describe them as Chavirim? Since they were getting up to go to shul to learn, to daven, that's why the brisa chose to describe the Chavirim who are on the way out to the Beis HaMedrash to learn. Okay. Let's continue the Gemara, which opens up a new topic here. 5 lines in the bottom. Tana Rabbah. B'nei Chabura Shoyim Musubin V'Kiddush Alein Hayom. We have a group sitting, engaged in a meal, and Shabbos arrives. You may recall we had a machlokes back in the beginning of the perek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. What is one meant to do when Shabbos arrives? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to stop your meal and begin fresh. Start the Shabbos meal anew. You have to set them apart. This is Friday, this is a weekday meal, and now begins the Shabbos meal. If the bench, you have to make Kiddush. Start your meal anew. According to Rabbi Yossi, whatever one eats on Shabbos is by default considered a Shabbos meal. It's credited to your Shabbos meal account. Whether or not you terminated your meal, or whether you're considering, you're continuing, it's one continuous meal. Says Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to stop. Whatever you eat on Shabbos is Shabbos day. In fact, as Tosfos there explained, based on the Gemara coming up soon, one can continue eating, finish his meal, make Birchas HaMazon, and then make Kiddush. Even though we just learned that Kiddush needs to be connected to the meal, Kiddush Makim Sudah. Tosfos tells us a Kiddush. Kiddush immediately following the meal also relates back to the meal. That's called Kiddush Makim Sudah. That takes us to Al Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. B'nei Chaburah Shoyim Musubin. We have a group of people engaged in the meal. The Kiddush Alein Hayom and Shabbos arrives. Mivin L'Kiddush Al Yayin, they bring him a cup of wine. V'Omer L'Av Kiddush Hayom, and he makes Kiddush. V'Sheni Omer L'Av Birchas HaMazon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, he has to stop his meal. He makes Kiddush. Why Kiddush first? Rashbam says, because the time of Kiddush arrived. That comes first. That takes priority. And then, immediately following Kiddush, he makes Birchas HaMazon to conclude his meal, his weekday meal. And then, only then, begins fresh, starts anew, he washes for his Shabbos meal. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to separate it into. Rabbi Yossi Omer, there's no need to do that. Oichel v'hoylech asher techshach. He can continue eating until nighttime, until whenever he wants. There's a gersa misha techshach. Even past nightfall, just continue eating until they decide to conclude their meal. Gamru, once they finished, now it's time for benching, time for Kiddush. He uses the first cup of wine to make Birchas HaMazon. They would make Birchas HaMazon on wine. And on the second cup of wine, finally he'll make his Kiddush. And this Kiddush will relate retroactively back to the Suda, and it's considered Kiddush Makim Suda. He has Kiddush, he has the Suda Shabbos, everything's worked out. Asks the Gemara. We understand why according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kiddush is one thing and Birchas HaMazon is something else. Birchas HaMazon is terminating the weekday meal. That requires its own kiddush. Kiddush is looking forward. It is going forward, going ahead to the Shabbos. Two things are unrelated and therefore each one has its own kiddush of wine. You can't bundle them up together on one kiddush. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it's really one and the same. Fact is, when he's done his meal, he's finally done at 11 o'clock at night, he's really concluding his Shabbos meal, right? Because anything that he eats during Shabbos is considered Shabbos. So now, when he's going to say Birchas HaMazon, why can't he use the same kais for Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush? They're both related to Shabbos. And they're both related to the same meal, to the second portion of his meal. Why can't he bundle them up together? Amai, why are two cups of wine needed? Save on the wine. V'nimrinu l'tarvayu achad akasa. Why can't he say both things, Birchas HaMazon and the Kiddush, using one cup of wine? We're not meant to say two kedushas. Kiddush is a kedusha, and Rashi says Birchas HaMazon is also called a kedusha. In any case, you can't say two nusachs, two things on one kais. My time, and why not? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lefi shein oisin mitzvos chavilis chavilis. We're not meant to bundle together mitzvos. Rashi says, Rashbam says it looks like he's just unloading his mitzvos quickly. Therefore, a separate kais for Birchas HaMazon and a separate kais for Kiddush is required. Let's see the Rashbam inside. Starting from the top line of the Rashbam. We're describing Shitas Rabbi Yosi, who allows them to eat through the night. Gomru Sudasa, when they finally finished, Kois Rishon Omer Lov Birchas HaMazon. Rabbi Yosi Kamal, is Rabbi Yosi speaking. For Rabbi Usu, it's a Kiddush, She'ein Tzorch LeKadosh Miyad. There's no need to make immediate Kiddush. Ela Yigmur Sudasa, first finish Yisuda, Yivarach Birchas HaMazon, bench, leisurely, V'achach Yikadosh. Afterwards he makes Kiddush, but as Tosfos explains, the Kiddush relates back to the Suda. One more thing, says the Rashbam, you don't have to necessarily ignore the arrival of Shabbos. Umiu in paras mapa v'kiddush. As soon as Shabbos arrives, he chooses to spread a tablecloth over his food to create that pseudo separation, that indicator. Look, Shabbos arrived. I want to separate the Shabbos meal from the weekday meal. He can do that. That's okay. In paras mapa v'kiddush, my dear Rabbi Yosi, the kolsh can the Shabbos dami. That's even better. Because otherwise, because if you'll tell me that Rabbi Yosi disagrees, he says, no, you can't be Paris Mappa, you have to continue eating until you finish, completely finish, and then do Birchas HaMazon. In King Shmuel, Amar Kaman, we actually find that Shmuel back in the Kuf tells us to do it in this manner. As soon as Shabbos arrives, be Paris Mappa, create that hecker. Look, going forward, it's going to be Shabbos, and then do the Kiddush. If Shmuel holds that, if Rabbi Yosi holds, that's not the way to go. Rather, you meant to dafka, finish your meal, and then do Kiddush. If that's the case, who is Shmuel following? Rabbi Yosi holds, you have to stop completely. Rabbi Yosi says, you must continue until you're done. So Shmuel, who strikes this compromise, so to speak, be Paris Papa Bekadosh, whose shit is he following? Apparently, says Rashbam, even Rabbi Yosi really agrees that you can. If you choose to do so, you can create that hecker. Be Paris Mapa, make Kiddush, to create that indicator. Look, Shabbos has arrived. That's actually better than just ignoring Shabbos, so to speak. Therefore, Shmuel, of course, is following Shita as Rabbi Yosi. Continued the Rashbam. Why separate the two? Why have two cups of wine? V'lemrinu tavayu achad kasa. Kiddush hayoyim. Ubrechas hamazon. Same on one cup of wine. A little basic pearl. Of course, this kasha only pertains to Rabbi Yosi. Dilu Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this wouldn't be a kasha. Given the mafsikin, since you have to stop your meal, v'tzerach hakira shulchan, move your table and do Birchas HaMazon, tzerach shnei kais, of course, two kais are required. Because the Birchas HaMazon, which relates to the weekday meal, which is totally unconnected to the forthcoming Shabbos meal, is a separate ceremony from the Kiddush, which is Shabbos related. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no question two kais are required. The question was according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that both events only take place after the completion, the complete completion of the meal. They're both Shabbos-related events, Birchas HaMazon and the Kiddush. Why can't you do them together? The Gemara tells us because we can't say Shtei Kedushas on one Kais. Continues the Rashbam, Shtei Kedushas, Birchas HaMazon, Kori Kedusha, Ki Kiddush Hayem. The Gemara here labels Birchas HaMazon and Kedusha. like Kiddush Hayom. Kilayim Shnei Mitzvahs, it's really just a way of saying you can't do two mitzvahs with one kais, because you're not meant to do chavilas, says Rashbam. Why not? The mixi lekemas, it looks like he's trying to unload quickly, do a bunch at a time, unload them quickly. Therefore, what I'm meant to do it, you separate the two, do it at a leisurely pace, bring some mazon on one kais, bring another kais for Kiddush, which gives chashivas, it shows high regard for each individual mitzvah. Now, interesting thing, Tosis points out that some had a minhag by a wedding to bring another kais when they've done the sheva brachas after the meal. You bring a kais for brachas hamazon, and then another kais for the sheva brachas. And he says that's not the proper way. Why? He says that Rabbeinu Meshulam, he says it's not proper to make two priagofen. That's one thing. And it brings Rabbeinu Meshulam, who holds that actually we're meant to make everything with one kais. He says it's very different from our Gemara. Birchas Hamazon and Kiddush are really two independent things. They don't really relate to each other. What does Kiddush have to do with Birchas Hamazon? So each one needs its own kais. But here, says Tosfos, Birchas Hamazon is very much related to the Sheva Brachos. Because let's think about it. What generates Sheva Brachos? Birchas Hamazon is goyrim lebrichas nesun, ubrichas to the brachas of nesun. Right? What generates Sheva Brachos? When you bench, you do Sheva Brachos. Two things are very much related to each other. They're linked to each other. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Meshulam, it is proper to do them both with one kais. Says Machlekes. Machlekes, how to go about? You go two things, one for Birchas Hamazon, one for the Sheva Brachos, or do you put them together on one kais? Another thing Tosis points out, by the actual wedding, we have the Birchas Erusin, and we have the Brachos of Nesuin. Tosis says, the minhag was to say them each on a different kais. Why? Because Regilin Zebulah, it was common practice to have one without the other. The Birchas Erusin they would say in one place, the Birchas Chasanim, the Sheva Brachos in a different place. So two things aren't really connected. It was common to separate the two, therefore meant to have two kaises, one for the Erusin and one for the Nesun. V'oites Tosis, even if you choose to do them together as we do today, we actually do everything together under the chuppah, Noagu Likuris Ksuva Ben Taim Avehefsik. In fact, as we read the Ksuva between the Brach of Erison, right, that's what we do today. We say Agafan, Brachas Erison, we read the Ksuva, and then we continue to Brichas Nesun. That creates a Hefsik. Ulkach Meskavnen. Actually, that's the point and purpose of reading the Ksuva between them, to separate between the two things. Ulkach Tzarach Beis Kaisen. That's why we have two Kaises, one for the Erison and a separate one for the Nesun, because it's considered two separate entities. Continues the Gemara, as we understand why Kiddush needs its own kais, and Havdalah, and the Birchas Hamazon, its own separate kais. We're not meant to bundle together mitzvahs. V'loi, is that so? That we don't bundle them together? V'atani, we learned in the Brice, Hanichas l'beis moitzei Shabbos. Fon comes home, Motzei Shabbos. He's ready to make Havdalah. How does he proceed? V'baruch al ha'yayin, v'al ha'mor, v'al ha'psamim, v'achach imer Havdalah al kais. He proceeds, beginning with Birchas Hayayin, by Priyagofen, that comes first. Then Mar, on the flame, then the Psamim, and finally, the Bracha Avdallah. Suppose this fellow knows he only has enough wine to supply one kais. He'd like to sit down to Malav Malka, he's Machmer, he washes, Mahadar. He'd like to have a kais for Birchas Hamazon as well. He has to cover all the bases here. He knows he only has enough wine supply for one kais. If he's going to use it up for Havdalah, he will have nothing available for the Birchas Hamazon. Says the Brayis, Manich Lachar Hamazon. He can leave the wine, the kais, the Havdalah. He leaves it over for after the meal. So he delays his Havdalah, Manich Lachar Hamazon. Umeshal Shalon Kudlan Lachrov. So it's a chiddush. He can eat before Avdallah. He's a manich l'achar mazon. He leaves the wine, the kais, till after his meal, and then strings them all together. Mushalshalan, Lashon Shalshalas. He links them all together after the meal. He's going to say Brichas HaMazon, Avdallah, all together, using one kais. Ah, you see that you can bundle together Avdallah with Brichas HaMazon. Anyway, Shani, this fellow doesn't have. When you don't have it, it's different. But if somebody has enough wine available, of course, he's meant to separate the two. What about the halacha? Where Yom Tov, for instance, Pesach, falls out Matzah Shabbos. The Islay, he certainly has enough wine there. Everybody has enough for the four cases of wine. And how does he proceed? It's Matzah Shabbos and Yom Tov. So you're meant to make Kiddush in honor of the Yom Tov, and also Havdalah, because let's remember, Yom Tov has a lower level Kiddush than Shabbos. So how do we go about this? Vama Rav Yakna. He takes one kais of wine, and he proceeds as follows. Yakna stands for Yayin, that's the first bracha. Kuf is Kiddush, in honor of Yom Tov. Nun is Ner, for the Havdalah. And Hey is Havdalah, on account of the Shabbos, which was just over. What do we see? That Kiddush and Havdalah can be said on the same kais of wine. Even this fellow has an abundant supply of wine. It's Pesach at night. So why do we allow this? Amri, the Gemara responds like this. Midloy Amar Zman. The fact is that Rav didn't mention anything about Zman. Zman means the bracha of Shechiyanu. The fact that he omitted Zman, what does that show? Mechlal de Bishvish of Pesach Askinan. We're not speaking about the first night of Pesach. We're speaking about the last night of Pesach, the seventh. The Koma de Havali Ochle, this fellow is a poor fellow. Anything that he had, all wine was already depleted. But lastly, he has no supply of wine. So since he's desperate, he's in short supply, we allow him to bundle together the Kiddush and the Havdalah using simply one cup of wine. But generally speaking, this is not the preferred method. What about the first Yom Tov of Pesach, where he certainly has an abundant supply? He has enough wine for the Dalet Kosis. Abaye tells us, if the first night of Pesach falls out of Matzah Shabbos, how do you proceed with the Kiddush and Havdalah ceremony? You bundle them all together. Yak Zena. Here we have Zman, right? The Zion is Zman. It's pretty clear we're speaking about the first night of Pesach, where Shechiyonu is said. And still we see that Abaye bundles them together. Yak Zena stands for Yayin, Kiddush, Zman, Ner, and Havdalah. Rav Amar, Yak Nahaz. Slightly different. Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah, Zman. Actually, that's the way we do. More later says, Hilchas HaKarava. What do we see? Even when he has plenty of wine, he'll have a bundle of Kiddush and Havdalah. Says the Gemara, Elo Havdalah v'Kiddush Chad Milsi. You must say that Havdalah and Kiddush are unique. They're very closely related, close in nature. And therefore, they can be bundled together. Brichas HaMazon v'Kiddush, Tzrei Milanin, as opposed to Brichas HaMazon and Kiddush, were totally unrelated to each other. And therefore, there's no reason to bundle them together using one kais, unless, of course, he doesn't have enough wine. In that case, we allow it to be tied together. But generally speaking, you're not meant to bundle together to make mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And that's why in the case of Rav Yosi, you do Birchas HaMazon using one kais, and Kiddush using the second kais. Now, what does the Gemara mean that Kiddush and Havdalah go together? Let's take a look at the Rashbam here. You notice the wider lines of the Rashbam, right in the middle, smack in the middle of those wide lines, we have the Rashbam beginning with the words, Kiddush of Havdalah Chad Milsi. Explains the Rashbam. Why are they connected? Tarvayu Mishim Kiddushas Yomim Tayyum Nino. Because both Kiddush and Havdalah relate, they come on account of the Kiddusha of these days. Kiddush heralds in the Kiddusha of the upcoming day. And Havdalah celebrates the departing day. Right? So they both relate to the fact that we have Yomim Kedoshim. They're close in nature. They're both sending the same message. One commences, one concludes. Therefore, says the Gemara, two things are very closely related, and it makes sense that they can both be said using the same case. Another point, says the Rashbam, "Ubavdola atzma hu mazger kudeshas Yom Tov." We're speaking that Yom Tov falls out of Matzah Shabbos. Although he's making Avdola on account of Shabbos, which is departing. But let's remember, unlike a typical standard Havdalah from Shabbos to weekday, where we say Mavdol ben Kodesh l'Chol, here he's going to say Hamavdol ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, because Shabbos is a higher kedusha, Yom Tov slightly lower. The Eibush says Mavdol between a Kodesh Chomer and a Kodesh Kal. The Hamavdol ben Kodesh l'Kodesh Mavarach. So really, he's referring to Yom Tov as well. Within the Nusach, within the text of the Havdalah for Shabbos, he's really referencing the upcoming Kedusha of Yom Tov as well. Therefore, says Rashbam, it makes very much sense that the Havdalah and the Kiddush are very closely related and can be said using the same Kodes of Yom. Okay, time for a brief Chazor of today's daf. We began with Shini Mokim. Chazor tells us, if one is engaged in a meaningful eating experience, something which is chashav, which requires the bracha achrona to be said at the mokem achil, shevesaminim, etc. In that case, as Rav Chisda, even if you choose to change locations midway, no new bracha is required because you're still bound to your original location, still bound to that meal experience. It's considered one continuous maase achila. We have a raya from a braisa to support Rav Chisda. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, any shini mokim, even this type of significant achila, generates a new chi of bracha on account of the shini mokim. We proceeded with the fellow who's having a meal on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos arrives. Rabbi Yehuda says, you must stop cold right there, do the kiddush, brachas hamazon, and then begin the Shabbos meal anew. Rabbi Yehuda says, you continue eating. When you're finally done, you make your brachas hamazon and your kiddush. But each one needs its own kais. The more concluded, because we're not meant to bundle together, we're meant to give each mitzvah its own chashivas, its own significance. We have two exceptions. One is when he's out of wine, in which case we allow for the mitzvahs to be bundled together using the same kais. Or, as the more concluded, we come to Kiddush and Abdullah. Kiddush and Abdullah is chad emusa, and they can be set together on one kais of yayin. Much, much hatzlacha.